It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a comedy shoe shine.
With Sam and Thomas.
Listen up.
Hello and welcome to Comedy Shoe Shine, the podcast by two proud fathers of boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we have the exact same gender makeup as of our kids, I just realized.
Yeah, it's true.
I really thought of that.
Yours are closer together, but otherwise it's true.
Yeah, their genders are closer together.
I just met his friends. Like
the boy is pretty feminine and the girl is pretty masculine. Yeah. Oh, how's it going?
Yeah, my son's an auto mechanic and my daughter's a princess. Yeah, we're back.
You know, funny you should bring that up.
We don't really do like any, we don't do episodes really that much anymore. It's kind of a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many big life things going on all the time. People having babies. I've
wanted to record, but we're so busy. Like, now it's pretty hard. I don't know if you know this. Nobody could have warned me this. Two kids, a lot harder than one.
Yeah.
I wish somebody had told me.
And yes, I know you'll have a lot to talk about with that. But aside from that, in my small world over here, my kids, I don't know if this is happening to everybody who has kids of school age. My kids don't have school. They don't actually to school.
Even it's I have noticed that about your fucking kids, and I don't live with them.
I think school is just like an optional thing now. They're not really required to go to school.
It's very weird because my memory is that we always had to be in school. I don't even remember summer or, you know, like I just remember nonstop all the time school. Every time I, you know, message you of like, oh, can we, you know, do this and whatever. And it's like, oh, my kids are home from school. I think it's every day. Scam you're running where you don't. Are you trying to get the feds off your back about...
Yeah, it's weird because I have an office that people are always in because I have full-time help now. So that used to be where I recorded and I could, because I'm going to talk shit about everybody, all the people that are there, my family. So I have to be in a place where there's nobody within earshot. So it used to be that was my place. Now I can't go there. Then it used to be, well, you know, kids go to school and my wife works and so I could be at home. But that doesn't happen anymore. They don't have school.
What is it? Do you have like a list of bullshit excuses the school's giving you?
Yeah, they just don't want to teach any. I think they're just sick of kids. I don't really blame them.
They call you, they're like, we're all sick here today. So
yeah, no maybe school. It's my kids. They're just like, those fucking assholes. Just tell them that we only have school every once in a while. Who cares? They're smart enough. They'll
like
pass all the tests.
In-service stuff? Is it that?
It's never ending. Well, they just had spring break, and then it's always like anytime there's a vacation day, or not vacation day, you know, like a holiday or a... spring break type thing, they'll just tack like the Friday before and the Monday after. I don't know if it's for the teachers or the staff, but like they just got off spring break and then yesterday it was like, oh, they don't have school today. I'm like, so they just had a week off. Can they go back to school on Monday?
I'm not usually one of those. Back in my day, we walked uphill in the snow kind of people. But holy shit, like that would have been amazing as a kid. We never got any fucking time. You know, I think maybe my relationship with my older sister, younger sister, because you're the oldest, was fundamentally ruined by the one time. Do you remember this? This was big for me. We lived at, you know, elevation 1,200, 1,300 feet or something. And so occasionally we'd get a little snow, not very often. And very occasionally, like once in a, I don't know, decade or something, we'd get actual snow, you know, like a almost a storm, you know. Mm-hmm. And one day it snowed enough to where apparently it was like this is, you know, very early memory. She must have been, I think she was in eighth grade, so that would put me in like third grade. This. You remember this?
Kind of,
yeah. So
I think I know where this is going. I'll see if I'm right.
We had some sort of snowstorm. And it was enough to where, and here's the other thing about our school. We go to school with people who live up the hill, as you call it. So like, maybe sort we aren't. Speak. Yeah, sort of speak. Up the hill, sort of speak. Everybody says, or sort of speak, I swear to God. No. Anyway, and so if it was like a big snow, if we got snow, that means half the school is not even coming. Like they're stuck in a blizzard, really. And so like one day it was enough snow to where our dad was like, well, it's going to be maybe a little tricky getting down our driveway, like, or getting back up, I guess would be the issue. Because we had a really steep, hilly, we lived on top of a mountain. And so I guess we can just not go to school today. This is how I remember it. And I swear to God, he said this. This is like some evil dictator shit that happened. Not by him, but like, well, kind of. He says if it's all or nothing. So either all of you are not going to school or all of you are going to school. And that would be, of course, because he's the laziest person of all time. And he's either driving none of us or all of us, which doesn't really make any sense because driving one of us is the same as driving three of us, I think it was. Yeah. But that was the deal. It was, well, we could just stay here. Or maybe from his perspective, it's like either I'm going to have to not watch over any kids or I might as well watch over all of them and not have to take a 1 minute fucking drive easily into town. But anyway, so that was the deal. If any of you have any reason to why these kids should not go to school. Yeah. And it was the ultimate betrayal because I could be making this part up. I think we were already like gearing up to play, mini basketball hoop out in our garage. Like I'm pretty sure we were already shooting baskets on the mini hoop. Like this is the greatest thing to ever happen. A not school day when there is going to be school. Couldn't be any better. And our sister was like, no, I want to go. It's going to be really cool to be there when like people aren't there and it'll be fun. Like, I never got over it. It was the worst thing to ever happen. So we had to all fucking go because she wanted to go.
I don't remember. I mean, I know.
What a betrayal.
Once you started talking about it, I remember that being a thing that happened, but I can't place myself in that memory of like, I remember this.
Were you still in, let's see. Yeah, you would have been in high school then, right? Maybe were going.
I was probably drugged out of my mind.
Yeah. Maybe you were going with mom no matter what, or
yeah, or there's just so many girls, at school that I was involved with that I wanted to go.
Had like a basketball practice, so you had to go or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that was the ultimate betrayal. It was the worst. I couldn't even. I'll never get over it.
Yeah,
stayed home.
What I was going to say then is that, so I woke up aside from just being able to record this. I just woke up this morning. I said, wait a minute, you're going to work and they're going to school today? Like, actually, there's not going to be people yelling and screaming.
It's for the thing.
What I was going to say is for a person with a high anxiety like I have at all times, the difference between me having this whole entire day, I mean, I go to my work and then I'll come home for like an hour and eat lunch in complete silence. The difference between that and them being here every minute of every single day is like night and day.
You're a whole
like
different person.
The only thing that keeps me going is that I know.
You like donated to charity today. You like planted some trees. You're like completely different person.
I need a silent house for several hours a day.
You really just need to buy a separate house for you.
Yeah. Really.
I don't think every, that happens in every case. Just specifically your case of extreme anxiety and being annoyed at everything and your kids being super loud all the time.
Yeah, I just wonder when they're like 14, 10, 15, maybe they'll be quiet. Do kids ever shut up? Do they ever?
Yeah,
they
eventually
ever
they'll
quiet?
Be like, yo, I hate you. And then they'll go to their room. And then I think that's how it goes.
They do that now. It doesn't bother me.
They're just too loud about it.
Yeah, I don't really get even mad at whatever they do that's misbehaving. It's just the noise. It's just, even if they're happy and making noise, it's annoying. I actually had a therapist say that. He's like, do you think you could, like when you hear your kids just playing like normal kids and having a great time, could you like turn that into a good thing? Like the noise, recognize it as a positive and I'm like, no. Next.
That's awesome.
Got any other ideas? Because that's not happening.
Oh man, that's awesome. I got it. Well, I guess I got to do my child birthing stuff because I birthed a child. I got some stuff related to whatever. First off, okay, so we had the baby, obviously. It was nice. The second one did go a lot easier. And I gotta be honest. I love medical professionals. They're all amazing, and medicine and science is the best thing of all time. It's unbelievable. Imagining going through that whole process back in like fucking any time before, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. Like, yeah. Can you imagine 100 years ago, 200 years ago? Like, oh yeah, you just try to have the baby in your fucking hut, in your log cabin. Just, God, no way. There's no way. Everybody died. I actually don't believe that ever happened. We all died. But anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't
it kind of weird that every animal still has to do that?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I think it's worse for humans because we got these big noggins. That's the thing. We evolve these brains. Yeah. And so, like, you got this giant noggin, and that's got to come out of a person. And so, you know, here's something I'm going to say. This may sound like the dumbest thing in the world, maybe. Or if you're somebody who's never doesn't know anything about having a baby or whatever. You know what's weird to me is like when I thought of oh yeah, delivering a baby, that's got to be the most painful thing. That's got to be just the most painful thing. Totally. Mm-hmm. But I would have thought, like, before going through this, I would think, yeah, it's probably awful to have a baby come out of your vagina and like tear your vagina a new asshole kind of thing. here's the thing that I'm just realized, like, I don't understand it. I don't get why that's not the, I mean, that part is obviously horrible, but like, that's the last couple minutes of it, you know, or it could go longer, but like, why do contractions need to be so painful? It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not comparing these two things at all in any way, but it's also sort of like when you have terrible diarrhea. The real pain is the before the actual diarrhea.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. The diarrhea cramping is the best part. That's all.
Yeah, once you get the diarrhea,
the diarrhea is all gravy.
Relief. Yeah. It's pure gravy. But the abdominal cramps that seem to be unnecessary, like just get the poop out.
Exactly. That's my whole point is like, I always think about pain is the most, you know, weird. Like, it makes sense that, okay, we have developed pain, evolved to ability to feel pain to, you know, avoid danger and keep like from dying and all that. Where does the part, because all that's happening in contractions, the first, you know, the first anywhere from.
Yeah. What are the contractual obligations? Yeah. Contractions?
Yeah, but I got to read my contraction, I'm perusing.
I can track that statement. Never mind. Go ahead.
I'm perusing my contraction here, and it says, no, like the first, it could be anywhere from, you know, and maybe it, like if you have a super short labor, it could be a few hours to like, you know, a fucking couple days of labor.
Oh yeah. My wife was in labor for like 48 hours.
Oh my God, that's awful.
She was lying in a bathtub for a day.
Yeah. All it is your something that's called the cervix, I guess. I don't know what goes on, but it's like, it's that thing. And it says contractions. Shouldn't it be an expansion? Why is it a contraction?
Yeah, what is contracting exactly? Yeah, maybe it's trying to open it and contracts back down because it's like, oh, we can't go this far.
That's the whole thing. You're trying
to step it back a bit.
You're trying to get from, you know, standard, which is like 0 or 2 centimeters or whatever it is. Anywhere from, I guess it's 0 when you're not pregnant, but you're getting from like, you're kind of 2 centimeters dilated, and then you're trying to get to 10, I guess, is the golden ticket to get a giant fucking baby head out of there. And that's the part that's probably by, at least if you're counting like pain over time, that's like 95% of the whole thing. Yeah. 'Cause you're just sitting there and your body every, you know, 2 to 5 minutes or 1 to 5 minutes or so, your body's like, oh, gonna do a thing where my, you know, the cervix is trying to expand. And it's apparently it's agony. And I don't get it. Like, what is that pain information doing for anybody? You know, like,
are the contractions not the part of your whatever that's pushing the baby out, maybe? Like, it starts doing that stuff, and it's not really connected to, like, I mean, it is connected to the cervix opening, but also it's, I don't think it's the cervix. I could be wrong.
Really?
I think it's,
oh, like, I thought it's it was the, everything. That would make sense if it's contracting. So, like, something's contracting to kind of start pushing the baby. But I do know that the baby doesn't start, like, getting in position to come out for a while, you know? Like, because they kept telling us, like, yeah.
It's like it has like a pipe and like sunglasses and
it hasn't even woken up.
Its legs are
reading the paper.
Yeah. It's not even prepared.
It always says, I'm in no position to come out.
Well, they're just so used to, contractions. This could be 48 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here like a sucker in the
fetal
position.
You think this is my first birth? Wake me up when it's actually time.
Here all boring.
That's the point. Like birth, I get the part where the baby comes out of you. Okay, that's gonna hurt. Like, of course, that makes total sense. I didn't know, you know, but prior to going through this, you know, or watching someone go through it, like that's barely any of it. Like that part goes pretty fast. The horrible part is just the entire time leading up to it. It's like agonizing contractions at times. It's just weird. Like I don't get what's that doing. You know, like what is that telling Lydia's body to, like, what is she going to do with that information? Like, it doesn't need to be so painful is what I'm telling. Find a way to make that less painful. Cause it could be like, oh, I feel a little, feel a little something, you know? And then that's all the information you need. You don't need to know more than that.
So yeah, they are the tightening of the shortening of the uterine muscles, and they cause the cervix to thin and dilate, and they help the baby to move down the birth canal. But yeah, I think it must have been, you know, an evolutionary thing of like, hey, get in a baby having spot, and we're going to give you, like, if you didn't have that, you'd just be walking around like, oh my God, a baby came out, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and
which would be
fine. I don't even have a stroller,
which would be totally fine. There would be no problem with it.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder what the advantages to having long, painful, like, it's
48
get
hours.
Get to a hut for in the next 48 hours. I don't know.
Like you're ever more than 1 minute away from your hut back in those days. I got to catch a plane back to my
I don't know.
Cave. Yeah. Anyway, the other thing I thought of, this must be, maybe it's like a small town thing, maybe, but I just realized as I was sitting there, you know, in the hospital, we ended up, Lydia's water broke. That was fun because with Phoebe, it was a weird thing where we went in to check on Lydia and then Phoebe's heart rate dropped. So they had to induce labor. So inducing labor is a whole different deal than like, oh, it's happening. You know?
Yeah. Really... Lydia just had like tennis elbow and they were like, by the way,
she was doing that. Yeah. Like, when I do that, like,
it kind of hurts when I'm doing this.
Not so much my backhand. It's more my front. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, and I don't even play tennis. So I don't know what.
Like, step one, let's strap a baby monitor on your tummy. Yeah, and so that's a whole different deal. That's a weird thing. And this was like...
I know, impossible. Can't, uncurable. Incurable. So anyway.
Yeah, they're like...
We don't have enough time.
The only thing worse than childbirth is tennis elbow. And this was interesting because we got the whole water broke thing. That's alarming. This was, and the other... I think I did this last time, but like, the thing about being the dude in the baby having situation is... anything that's wrong with you is nothing. And there's no reason. You cannot say a thing. Short of like, if I'm waiting there, you know, and Lydia's going through contractions and like my leg falls off. Like then I might be able to like, okay, doctor, my leg fell off. And they'll be like, okay, fine. Short of that.
You have one leg now.
Yeah. Short of that, any inconvenience of any kind is not, like, I can't even think about it. It's really... Yeah. And it's really it's a tough mental situation because it doesn't matter how bad I'm having some sort of anything. Where was I going with that? Oh, now that I've said that, I'm going to bring up the totally nothing inconvenience that I was thinking about the whole time. Mm-hmm. Of course, when Lydia's water broke, she was in my goddamn pair of sweatpants. This is another thing. I don't know if this is just Lydia and I, but I tweeted something like this, and people seem to resonate with it, which is. It, to be a man in a typical like hetero relationship, any sweatshirt or sweatpants I own is merely borrowed. Like it's not, it's merely like I just have custody of it sometimes. It could be, you know, it could be repoed or whatever, but at any time by my wife. That just, there's nothing, no sweatshirt or even sweatpants I have that can't be taken away instantly on no notice. And I'll have no idea where they are or what happened with them because I guess. And I guess it's a trade-off of, like, the house is cooler or something, maybe, which is fine. I'll take it. But my one pair of sweatpants that I would have liked to have actually worn through this process, because we were staying in a hospital room all goddamn night. Would have been nice to have something comfy to sleep in, because we did try to get a little sleep. And, nope, she was in them when the water broke, so that was...
You were just in your jockeys.
Yeah, they were out of commission for weeks.
I can't really relate to that, because I'm way bigger than my wife, so that doesn't.
You lucky asshole.
Doesn't work.
Yeah,
she wouldn't. Maybe like a sweatshirt, but
yeah. What I started to say is a different thing, but one thought I had while I was just sitting in the hospital room without my precious sweatpants was just
like for some reason I'm imagining the most stock like gray, you know, like the. I don't know. Yeah. For some reason, it seems funny. Prison like the ugliest, like old.
Oh, there's
gray
nothing
sweatpants.
To them. Yeah, they're not. No, they're actually are kind of nice. Well, Lydia bought them for me, so they're actually kind of nice. But anyway, I was sitting there and I don't know why this popped into my mind, but what popped into my mind is like, you know, in a TV show or in a movie where someone's like, oh yeah, that's the doctor that delivered all four of my children or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? And I was thinking like, that must be a small town thing. Cause I have no fucking idea who delivered any of my kids and I'll never know. I'll never have any idea. It's at the last minute. Cause the whole thing is you're working with the nurses, you're working with, maybe there's like a midwife, whatever that is. I don't know what the hell that is. Midwife. What does that mean? Midwife. I guess like it's almost your wife. It's like
halfway between your wife.
Yeah. You got your wife giving birth and then you got somebody for, you can borrow a midwife who's like also half your wife. I don't know.
I think you could be a midwife without any like medical, like it's not a, I don't know.
Which we're all for, like what, because they probably, yeah. I firmly believe that doing things teaches you more than anything. So like midwives, they probably have helped a billion women give birth 100,000 million times. And so they know everything pretty much. And they're just helping you through the, you know, most of the process, I think. And I think at the last second, you know, like they're like, oh, we're ready for you to take all the fucking credit. Then they call the doctor. The doctor comes in and like drinking a beer and is like, yeah, no, that looks good. And then leaves. And no, it might have been the doctor who, like, you know, does some stitches and stuff. But I have no idea. I don't remember who delivered Phoebe. I don't know who. I think I kind of have some image of somebody who might have delivered Arlo, but it's just funny. Like, I don't know. I guess if you live in a small town with like one doctor, then it's like, yeah, that's the doctor. But
yeah,
kind of. Anyway, something that just occurred to me.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'm sure I brought this up last time, but it bears repeating. We got the fucking, actually, I feel like they didn't ask me this last time, and it might have been because it was more traumatic birth. But they did the whole, oh, dad, are you cutting the cord? Do you want to cut the cord? You know? And of course, I politely said, no, you do it. But like in my mind, I'm thinking like, I don't need your fucking charity. Like, that was my first thought. It's like, I know I'm useless. I know I'm no fucking part of this. I know I've contributed exactly nothing. Like, I don't need you to. It's like if they, like, Michael Jordan can't, well, we could use a more current reference. You know, LeBron James comes and is like, do you want me to hold you up so you can dunk a ball on it? It's like, no, I get you. I'm not a basketball player. Like, and I was thinking, or it feels like, you know, when they have like a Make-A-Wish kid be Batman and save the city, it feels like that. Like, I get that I'm not Batman or a doctor. I have no part of this. Like, if I, then my next thought is like, what if I get like a kidney transplant and they're like, hey, Lydia, do you want to, you know, sew up the last stitch on this guy? Like, just do the last suture on his kidney transplant. Like, why do we do it with this? It's weird.
Yeah, it must be to be like, you know, you have some part in this, I guess. But some people probably really enjoy it and think it means something, or I don't know. I would have just said, no, we're cord cutters. We cut the cord on cutting cords.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you. I'm on YouTube TV. I don't know why you're asking me about this right now, but totally cut the cable. Yeah, the answer of all of this is some fucking people think it's a valuable thing to do, and whatever, if you are into that, that's fine. But for me, I'm just a no bullshit kind of person. Like, that is meaningless to me. And I think half the time they don't even actually give you, they give you like a part of the cord that's not even,
it's just attached. A prop cord. It's not even real. It's the same one. They order it. It's like a 100-foot cord. And then it's like on a hose wheel.
It falls out of the table. Like.
Yeah. They refill it like every couple of weeks. They put another 100.
It's like Garth's Red Rope licorice thing. Like,
yeah,
just pulls it out. Doctor does the, like, you know, the magic trick with the handkerchief out of the sleeve. Just pulls like umbilical cord out of their sleeve.
It's like, wow, what a cut! That's the best cut we've seen.
And then look at all this cord. There's so much more of it.
Yeah. He sets it up under Lydia like it's coming out of her. Like, it just keeps pulling it.
Now that would be awesome.
That would be funny.
I would like
everybody
that.
Would laugh at that.
Yeah,
it would never get old. Even if you're on like your fifth kid, you'd be like, I hope he does the cord thing. It's hilarious.
The other thing
time.
That I swear didn't happen last time is we got some questions about the fucking placenta. You know, all the weird shit.
Yeah, that's
shit.
A new thing.
Oh, God, all the crap people do with placentas. I don't want any part of it. They're like, oh, are we saving this? Are we boxing it up in a to-go? You know, like. doggy bag.
You guys have it here or to go?
Yeah.
Is it?
Seriously. And I'm like, no, we want no part of whatever that disgusting thing that just came out of my wife.
Eat it or something? What is
it? Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. People do that. They like save it. They bury it. They fucking.
Oh, yeah.
They sing to it. They
frisbee with it.
Tender, loving things to it.
Yeah.
They like.
Dude, it's like a whoopee cushion. They like put it under people's chairs.
Yeah, and again, that part would be fine. We would do that if I was out of whoopee cushions, but I've got plenty of them at all times.
I've already designed the perfect fart machine. It's called a whoopee cushion.
Yeah, I barely want the baby that came out of my wife. I don't want what do I want the stuff that's like the weird, gross thing that fed the baby. Now the baby is not in there anymore, so it doesn't need that. I don't know. It's gross.
Yeah, I don't think we were asked about. Maybe. Don't they do like this, the... Isn't there something with the umbilical cord cells or something, though, that you can possibly use?
Yeah, that's something that our friends just had a baby. They were telling me about, like, oh, if the baby gets sick or something, then it'll be... And I think it makes sense if it's, like, a rare blood type, then you can save some of the blood and, like, it's better, you know, like, to get it donated. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I mean, I'm not doing it, but it's like, okay, yeah, fine. Because they did it, you know, they were trying to sell me on it. I was like, okay. Enjoy your placenta blood. I'm not doing that. I don't care. If a doctor tells me, hey, this is science says do this, I'll do it. But I'm not in charge of anything. That's the thing about if Lydia says something or if the doctor says something, okay. But I can't imagine. That's a weird thing. Maybe it's just me. I can't come up with a thing myself. Like, I'm not going to be like, okay, make sure that I intervene and have them do a thing that they weren't
like something that's
do.
Not common practice.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
not going to insist on something.
Which
weird.
Might be bad. Like, there might be times where that's probably bad for me. Like, it could be, but for, you know. And I do try to ask questions with my doctor when I'm, you know, have some sort of.
Yeah, like, how did this happen again?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking when I have some sort of butt problems or something, I go to the doctor. I'm like, oh, is it the, could I ask you this? And it's usually nothing. It never once has it come into play or mattered. Like, oh, do I have this rare disease that I saw in an episode of House or something that I don't watch? Anyway, so yeah, it was fun. It was good though. It was a lot faster that time, so that was good.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like it was over before it even started. Like, it was going to the hospital, and it was like, anyway, baby.
Well, it wasn't. I thought it was going to be, but Lydia got stuck. It's kind of unfortunate. She got, you know, stuck on like 9 inches.
In traffic.
Yeah, her cervix got stuck in traffic at 9 inches. And I guess Lydia was having so much. The problem is she gets this back labor, which, you know, means apparently means the baby's kicking you in the back the whole time or something. Ugh. Or maybe it was just his massive dick was just slapping her.
I was going to say, that was the next snag. Is yeah. 9 inches was not enough to get the bottom half out.
So, yeah, we're hoping we could try to get that boner down, but we've tried saying all kinds of like unattractive stuff.
Do you have any pictures of his grandma?
Tried all the usual stuff. It's not going down. Yeah, that was my first thought of Fonzie. And yeah, it's always funny because apparently the ball sack is all like swollen because of the estrogen or whatever.
Your ball sack. Oh, that yeah.
I messed up my mic. Yeah. Yeah, my ball.
It's just a weird
thing. They asked
phenomenon.
Me, like, can we see your ball sack to make sure it's that small?
It's and, swollen. It's time. Yeah, yeah. All signs point to the baby's coming. Like, they look over, like, you know, we don't even have to ask. It's just obvious.
Yeah, I have, like, a special robe that just, like, has my ball sack out. The special hospital
You're
gown
like
or whatever.
Spread eagle all weird on the couch, like, just trying to make space.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're asking me my ball sack swollen? Yeah. Why'd you take a look over here, doc? What do you think?
I don't even remember where I was going with that. It's just that the penis, after you're used to a girl, it's fucking weird. It's so.
One of the first things I messaged you, I was like, isn't it weird? Have you had the thought yet that it's weird?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's the first thing I remember.
That's what I was going to say. I was just going to joke, like, I think it'd be even better if the penis was always adult size. Like, you, whatever penis you're born with, like, it's just
like
your, it doesn't grow. Yeah. Exactly.
Eyeballs grow? I don't know. A little bit. Maybe.
I feel like everything has to because it's so tiny. I don't know.
Just a giant hairy schlong with balls, like full adult.
It's like as big as the baby. That'd be awesome. My favorite thing, penis related comedy about this baby, probably my favorite thing is Lydia confessed to me that And I told her I was writing this down. She's fine with it. But she was like, yeah. She's trying to, you know, do diaper changes. And it's obviously it's a confusing thing to see.
Yeah.
And she said, I Googled penis go up or down.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just imagining penis go up or down, like Google question mark. So good. And I was like, I just go whatever it does. But apparently if you accidentally pin it up and then obviously, you know, he's just going to pee everywhere.
Yeah.
Straight up. So maybe it does need to penis go down.
It's weird because, the first time you get a penis spray of pee while you're changing it's
shocking.
It's really shocking. You're like, whoa, because they have such tiny little penises and tiny little penis holes that it's like a, you know.
It's the pressure spray a baby is able to generate for anything. Like the farts that would come out of these babies. It's incredible. Like it's like jet propulsion. I love it, actually. It's the, it's like, you're like, how did you, your tiny body, maybe they just have so much leverage because it's like just a tiny, I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
The best.
I was thinking, only thing I was going to add to your thing is when you were saying like you can't really complain about anything when that's going
right,
on.
Yeah.
I remembered that our first was like a disastrous style thing. It went from like we went into like everything's fine, everything's going fine to I'm sure I told this on our old podcast 100 years ago. But
I don't know if you did actually.
It went from that to like four nurses running in.
Yeah.
And like rotating, like turning my wife back and forth because they couldn't catch the heartbeat on the monitor anymore. Right, and I was just sitting there like, oh my God. And I remember like they kind of got it calmed down and the doctor came in and everything and they were going to, you know, do like emergency C-section. And I was like totally just, I was getting dizzy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse actually said, I was like, I think I'm going to like faint, you know, and she... Mm-hmm. They got me like a glass of juice and brought it over and like, drink this and put your head, like they actually attended to me.
Right.
Like they weren't like, well, you could just
they
die.
They probably realized you look bad enough to like, oh, this is one of those kinds of people.
Yeah. But it was pretty shocking.
I imagine.
Most people in that situation would be doing the same thing.
The thing about the delivering the baby is it goes from nothing to like, they're bringing in a body bag just in a second. They're like, oh, well, it's your wife's dead or something. Like they had to do that to me. I thought we were going to have a nice... We're all going to get together and have a nice little fucking baby birthing where I didn't have to... God, Phoebe was rough. It maybe wasn't as bad as that, but honestly, kind of was because her heart kept dropping. Her heart rate kept dropping. Yeah, and like they had to fucking suck her out of Lydia with a vacuum and it was like... And they're like, we're going to give it one more try and then we're just burning down the building. Like, you can't. They're going to do a C-section, which after all that would have been awful. You know, she had to go through so much labor without drugs. And then this time, Lydia had to do the drugs because her she couldn't not... Oh, I started to say this earlier. She couldn't not push when because the contractions were so bad. And so that was causing her cervix to swell or whatever. And they're like, we can't... You're stuck. So you're going to be stuck like this forever. So they give her the drugs and it's she was no longer pregnant at that point. It was amazing. Yeah. They give her the... what is it called? The epidural.
Epidural.
Yeah, I didn't know... Okay, that's another thing.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah. Like, why is the epidural that... Well, like, it's weird. I know, obviously, it's all fucking medical science. I'm not arguing the science. But from a non... From a just a regular citizen point of view, it's weird that to get numb for the baby enough, you know, or whatever, they have to go into your fucking spine and, like, inject... It's weird. And that made me nervous as hell because they're like, okay, don't move. And, you know, because I was like, oh, great. Is Lydia going to have a contraction? And then, like, she's going to... jerk around and like she'll be paralyzed or some shit. Like that was one of the scariest parts of the whole thing, actually.
Yeah.
Just having this anesthesiologist who's probably like the best job ever, or like the most skilled job, or one of the most skilled jobs, I bet, having to do all that crap.
Yeah.
And then there's like, you know, it has to be all perfectly sterile, obviously. I'm like, oh, you know, something's going to go wrong. And there's going to be some bacteria. She'll get some infection or spite. You know, I'm just worrying about all this crap. It all turned out fine so far as I know.
Yeah, it's not a like, oh, we're going to put this thing in your IV bag and then you'll be fine.
That's what I was going to say.
We have a shot here.
Yeah. Or we'll put some gel on your vagina or something and it'll be fine. Like,
they set up like, if I remember it, it was like almost like an apparatus they put on their back and like to measure all this stuff. And
it's
serious.
Heavy duty. And then you just have a cord that like goes from in your spine that it's like a new IV, but for, you know, straight to your spine. And but the thing is, I mean, I've amazing expert staff that did it all, and it's awesome, and I can't believe how lucky we are to have all that. But then once they got her the drugs, that we weren't pregnant anymore. We weren't even having a baby anymore. It was she went from just death labor that, you know, for that she couldn't even take, to like, all right, well, whatever you guys want to do, if you want to like take a nap, you want to go, you know, leave, you want to do it. Like, it was, she's just like, we'll turn off all the lights, because it was like 2 a.m., you know. Yeah. Like, well, we'll turn off all the lights and maybe you can get a little nap, and then it will wake you up when the baby comes. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And they did. I had just gotten to sleep. So here's what happened with the delivery. I had just gotten to sleep, probably, you know, maybe for, who knows, 45 minutes or something, which is rare, because I can't sleep, you know.
Especially not in that situation.
Yeah, but I was so exhausted from it all, you know, and it was like 2 or 3 or something. And so I just barely got a little balls. Sleep. Yeah.
Exhausted.
I was able to get my balls in a position where I could, they had a separate like
table.
You're
trying to make the splits for that long.
Separate like cart I could rest them on. And so very good. And they wake us up and they're like, well, baby time. Somehow they know. Like, I don't know if they're in communicating. They're on a radio with the baby, and the baby's like, okay, let me out. And so they know that the baby's in position to, you know, come out. Position one and position two, I'm ready to come out.
Yeah.
And so they wake us up, and I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this. And here I am thinking, naive little me. I'm like, okay, she's not even in pain, really. You know, it's going to be, obviously she'll feel something, but like, should be fine. Cervix all worked out. The doctor said we got plenty of room, which, by the way, that was a big deal, because for Phoebe, we had like a couple of professionals at the time, you know, nurses or whoever, be like, you're not going to be able to do this with a real baby. Because Phoebe was a fake baby. It was like a half a baby. She was 5 pounds. You know, there's nothing. Oh, wow. And so, and Lydia could barely get her out. And so we're thinking like, oh, her pelvis or whatever is just not going to work with baby having, you know, and some people, you have to do C-section. Like, and so I was dreading that, because you described the C-section that your wife had. And I was like, I don't want any part of that. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
And so I'm dreading that, but they had allayed my fears. The nurses said, oh no, there's plenty of, you're fine. You could have like 3 babies somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Lydia, I don't think is like expanded, but it somehow was fine. And so I'm thinking it'll all be great. And then when they start having the fucking thing and the baby's heart rate drops and they go into that mode, exactly what you said. For a second, they go into that mode. Oh God, get the thing, blah, 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 you know, like. I could tell instantly it went from this is all fine to like get this person in, like real quick. And there you could just see their energy change, you know, and like the heart rate dropping there. Oh, and she even said like, oh, we were doing C-section. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. You got to be. And so I'm starting to lose it, you know, like I just woke up, like I felt sick, you know, because they had just woken me up in a weird dream. And like my stomach felt weird. I didn't eat right. And I was like, well, OK, I'll see if I can make it, you know. And so they do that. And then it was all for nothing, because within 20 seconds, they're like, oh, no, he's fine. Never mind. It was totally fine. It's the weirdest thing. Like, his heart rate dropped for a second, you know, and then it was fine. And then I spent the rest of the time, which was not even hard. They're like, oh, we're going to kick back now. This is not even a big deal. And I'm just dying. Like, I was doing what you were probably saying, which is I couldn't even, I was just sitting in the chair. I was like, I'm not even, you know, I wanted to help Lydia, but I was just done. Like, I lost my mind. I was, like, just sitting there trying not to die of anxiety and stuff, you know? So I was just like, hurry. You know, I was kind of maybe was holding Lydia's hand at best. But, yeah. And eventually I got over it. But I was like, it couldn't have just... that it had to be that one scare that ruined the entire thing. God.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing, the whole process, that any of it works. I remember the opposite feeling of, like, can we just do the C-section? Because you're telling me... it's got to go through this, you know, might not fit or, you know, or you could just get it out of there. Just take it out of there right now. Like, can we do that?
Well, that's what I used to think when I heard what a C-section was. I was like, oh, that sounds fine. You just boop, grab it. But like, it's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, it is. It's
yeah.
It worked out, but yeah.
They have to like disassemble your wife's entire body and then put it back together.
Yeah, the recovery is
they take her all the way apart, and then the baby just sits. They take the mom away from, like, apart around the baby. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Ugh, how does anybody work in the field of medicine? It's impossible. I said it before. I'll say it again. I can't imagine doing that. It's
no.
Gross.
Way.
Weird.
No way.
I will say this about having a boy. You can wipe his asshole whichever goddamn direction you please.
Yeah.
doesn't even, they're always, oh, wipe down with a girl, wipe down. Never mind the fact that she's just diarrheated directly into her vagina. So there's no possible way it makes any difference. But whatever, I listen to what they tell me. Wipe down, always wipe away. Okay. Boy, I'm wiping every drawer. I'm going around 360s. I'm just wiping everywhere. It's the best.
Oh, man. Poopy balls and all that.
Yep. Poopy balls are a little tough.
A long time.
That's so much easier than Phoebe's poops now, though. Oh, my God. Every morning, because now I'm in charge of Phoebe. God. So that's why I have to be a morning person now, which is a big deal. Like, if somebody told me, like, okay, you're having your second child, and so now you have to be gay for, like, 6 months, I'd be like, all right, I'll find a way. That'd be, like, easier than being a morning person. It's such a fundamental change for me. I'm doing it. Just like I would be gay for if I had to, but I'm doing it. I have to wake up. I'm miserable, and like I feel miserable. I wake up. I feel kind of gross and just can't believe I'm waking up. And I have to go in and get Phoebe's just amazing shits. I have to change. I can't believe I haven't barfed yet. Has anyone ever barfed on their child's diarrhea? Because
I've been close.
I feel like I'm going to every time. I might only be saved by the fact that it's morning and I haven't eaten anything. Like that might, but I start to feel like I'm going to lose it this time. This is so bad.
When God. They start taking human shits, it's really bad.
It's amazing. Oh, I could go on forever. Oh, we wanted to actually do a boner. Well, I guess we have a few more minutes here, but did you have anything happen?
You know, I had something before all this baby talk, and now I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, goo goo gaga. I did the baby talk routine.
My quick thing of the day was I'm in this time of the year where every morning I wake up and it's one of three things. Do I have do I have allergies? Do I have a cold or crippling anxiety? It could be any one of those three things. It's just a guessing game. And it doesn't really matter because the symptoms are all very similar, but like, I don't know if you can hear my voice. My throat is completely I don't know what's going on, but I'm not really sneezing. I don't know what's going on. I keep coughing.
Yep, me too.
I don't know. And I guess it usually happens for a month. And then I think it must just be allergies. But I made the mistake of going outside a lot at the Easter picnic. And I think if I go outside on a full allergy day, you know, even if I have allergy medicine, it's like 4 or 5 days of not being able to breathe and sneezing and coughing no matter what, even if I'm inside, you know, in a shower for the next.
I don't know how you got such a fucking raw deal.
I know. I got everything.
Your allergies are worse than they're superhumanly bad.
They're so bad. Yeah, it sucks. It's weird. I've never really dwelled on it too much because it ends in like, it's usually a month.
Pretty quick.
Maybe 6 weeks. That's not it's like, because right now we had the most rain in the history of the earth. And so every tree and everything is, you know, the worst possible. And it's windy. It's been windy. When those three things are together, it's death. But then it's
a full moon. I don't know.
Yeah. Once it's hot for a while, it's a lot better. But this is not funny or anything. I don't really know there's no way of saying this without it being like, cool, it's first world problems. But I did hire someone to just cut down every fucking tree in the city. In the city.
You hired like a villain from a 90s, like a Disney movie that just wants to eat all the trees and the villain in Fern Gully was, he like hired them.
No, some idiot who designed this backyard and house with a pool in it planted two trees that were designed. Speaking of evil, it was designed by like a mad scientist for, let's invent a tree that has like somehow like 12 seasons where it has like berry pods, full shedding of all leaves multiple times a year, like these green like pea pods, like squash, watermelons. Like it all it does is grow stuff and fall into my pool.
Shit
all the
on
time.
Your backyard.
Yeah. So finally I had talked to some, you know, we had some guys that we hired to do yard work, but like, I felt like if it was that kind of job, I should hire like a, you know, fully licensed, insured arborist type person. Yeah. So I call this guy and he's like, such a nice guy. Like this generally is just one of my favorite things. When you call somebody who's an expert on something like birds or trees, like something like that, that you're like, I have no idea.
I call someone to kill all the birds around me all the time. I'm putting out a hit on these birds.
I met a guy, couple years ago that's a bird watcher. I think I said it.
That's the thing. Yeah, people are into that. Birding, yeah. They call it. Yeah, birding, I think you mentioned that.
And because he is, so I met up
I with couldn't,
him.
That's talking, that and LARPing, like I couldn't be less interested. Like I'll look at a bird from time to time and be like, I can't believe that fucking thing exists. That's weird. But the idea of going out and sitting and looking at them is, that's, I would have to be seeing like the rarest, like phoenix, that, you know, like a mythical, like pterodactyl.
He emailed me like years ago and he goes, dude, I was out birding and I saw fucking bird that like doesn't exist.
Yeah, let me guess. Was it a fucking bird? Did it?
Yeah.
Did it have some wings and some feathers and look generally like a bird?
But I love it. I'm not interested in birds, but right. I'm interested in the person who.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah,
it's awesome. So, well, what's funny is just a couple weeks ago we were somewhere, me and my friend, and my friend had a shirt on that had some birds on it. Apparently, I don't know. And he goes, oh, you got a shirt with two, whatever, you know, blue crested loons or something. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I go, oh, yeah, you're the guy who does the bird.
You're
like,
the bird man.
I didn't remember that he was into birds. And I was like, what a thing to say. What kind of asshole would say, you know, like, oh, you're into birds. Like, you know, like.
He's working on his smack talk. Yeah.
Like, are you trying to be a smart guy? Like, about, you know, bird. But then you find out, like, he's into birds. And it's like, oh, okay. But anyway, this is how this guy was with trees is I go, he comes, I called, yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, that's funny when you, if he's just a normal guy and he says that, like, we need to get you to a mental institution. But then you find out he's the bird guy. You're like, oh, never mind. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Yeah, exactly. So I call, I go, hey, I got this whole yard of just different leafing plants. And I don't know what, I know that there's something is a pain in the ass. And I think it's these two. And I don't know, like, should I take them? Anyway, so he comes out and he's like, well, this one's this. And he's telling me, like, this one's this.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't remember a single name of any of them.
Yeah.
But I go like, I think those two. And he goes, yeah, those are the dumbest. Like whoever planted these two trees is a moron. He's like, this is the absolute worst
they're
tree
just
you could
there
have.
To fuck with you. Like there's no other point.
I know this is a first world problem. I understand it's beyond even that. It's like a rich person first world problem. But every morning in the last 2 months, I got to get up, clean out the basket thing in my pool is overflowing with sticks and leaves. It's getting into the filter. I got to clean that out. Then I got to net the pool for 20 minutes, twice a day. And I'm just like, enough is enough. I'm killing all the plants in this whole yard. So anyway, the reason I'm even talking about this is just because it's the greatest money, the best return on investment of all time.
Oh, man.
I paid $1 zillion to get these trees removed. And they did it in like 2 hours and get all of it out. I wake up the next morning, fucking pristine pool, not a leaf in the pool. Because all my other trees are like evergreen palm tree stuff that doesn't. And I check the basket, dude. It was like, I open the leaf basket that's usually literally overflowing with leaves. And it nothing, just nothing, not even a pebble, not even a grain of sand in there. And the little guy, I have that little like, you know, I can't remember what they call it, but it's a cleaner that's attached in the pool. It's not
a
like
little robot guy.
Yeah, well, it's not the robot. You can buy like robots that are plugged in and they go into the water.
Yeah,
and this is like run through the pump, so you don't have to have like extra electricity. It just runs the water pushing through the hose.
Gave you a thumbs up.
No, I got to empty that. I got to fish that thing out. Turn the pool off. Fish that fucking robot out and empty its bag, and then put the bag back. Clean it off. Put the bag on because it's getting the leaves that have fallen to the bottom. It's totally overflowed. So anyway, that thing, I opened it up, just pressed nothing, not even
sand. It's like, why, I don't even need you.
Don't even need it anymore. Yeah. Best money I've ever spent in my life.
That's awesome.
I should have done it
100
years ago.
So the previous owner just planted two fuck you trees, like just totally.
Yeah it's like a
they,
prank.
They like punch you in the balls every time you walk by.
I think they built the house, bought it just to sell it to somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, watch how hard, where's the candid camera or whatever?
Yeah, they probably drove by it and just like laughed and tried to see in. They probably have like, they set up a webcam or something on the roof that looks down on it, just like laughing at me, spending hours of my life cleaning fucking leaves.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I just realized I'm running out of time. So, and I want to do a boner for our fine patrons at patreon.com/shoeshine. So I'm going to tell you about why Steve Jobs was a fucking asshole. Cause I read a book recently and wow, that guy was an asshole. So I want to talk about that.
My old boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Your old boss. But yeah, thanks for listening and go to patreon.com/shoeshine for a little bonus extra right now. Everybody else, we'll see you when we next record.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com. or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @comedyshoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.